We're in our next to the last week of our Proverbs series called You Can Be Wise. And today we're talking about smart money, wise money. And God's going to coach us because we all need a little wisdom regarding our finances, because obviously money can almost have a hypnotic spell over us. We're all familiar with next time people. You know, next time, I'm going to be wiser. Next time, I'm going to be smart. Next time, I'm going to let the gator have the golf ball. Next time, Proverbs is saying, how about this time? Don't be the kind of person where every lesson you have to learn the hard way. This time, listen to some coaching, listen to some teaching, and this time, let's listen to what this father has to say to his children. Proverbs is written from the standpoint of a father coaching his son about important matters in life. So today, smart money. I've got 8 points. Some I'm going to fly by. A couple will camp out for just a moment. Here's the first one. Smart money knows your source. Knows where the money comes from. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. God has honored you. You honor him. There should be absolutely no forgetting who provides, who gave you the opportunity, who gave you the smarts, who gave you everything to do what you need to do to have what you have. And so in response to that, honor the Lord. Know your source. Number two, teach your children. Smart money teaches your children about money. We all learn something about money from our parents. What did you learn? To be impulsive, to be worried, to be generous, to hoard, to flaunt. We taught our children about money. We did the old envelope system. Gang, here are the envelopes. And there was one labeled save, one labeled give, one labeled loans for dad, another labeled spend. And you just teach them, this is how you're going to handle your money, manage your money. And the best financial gift you give to your children is not just throwing money at them like you're an ATM, but modeling a wise financial life. Now, you can model credit card abuse, chronic debt, neglect of giving, recreational shopping, or you can model simplicity, humility, generosity. I hope you will have stewardship testimonies to pass along to your children. By the way, in your order of worship, you'll see a couple of financial classes we have upcoming. They'll start, one starts 2 weeks from today, and it's called Smart Money, Smart Kids. It's being offered at 9:45 on Sundays. This might be the kind of thing you want to not walk, but run to. Number three, smart money, it embraces your job. Proverbs acknowledges that our jobs have something to do with our finances, and that for a follower of God, when we approach our job with diligence, it honors God and it's fundamental to financial wisdom. Now, you've heard me say that Proverbs, they're not guaranteed promises. Proverbs are general truths. This is the way life generally works. Proverbs 22:29, do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. In other words, somebody who takes their job seriously, God will show them some favor. Now, I'm going to ask you to think about ways God shows favor to you in your work that you might have overlooked. Maybe it was an idea. And you were thinking, boy, I was sharp to come up with that. But maybe that was God giving you that idea. Maybe it was a relationship. Someone in your work world, perhaps she is a mentor, he is a mentor, they become a wonderful client. And you were thinking, well, it was just so coincidental. It was networking. But maybe God brought that person into your world. And it's opened up so many possibilities for you. Proverbs 10, verse 4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Now listen very carefully. Poverty is not always caused by laziness. Sometimes it's caused by injustice. If you believe that poverty is always caused by laziness, all you need to do is visit Haiti, where the unemployment rate is 80%. Very, very well-educated people who would love to work, who would love to have a job. And so if you've got a job, be thankful. I mean, one of the things the Bible does is gives honor and meaning to diligent work. But it says, I tackle this with industry. Proverbs 12, 11, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. In other words, don't be into get-rich-quick schemes and playing the lottery. Proverbs 13, 11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Proverbs 11, 8, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Proverbs 20, 23, unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good. What's that? Any kind of dishonesty, including false advertising, including withholding information from that client, from that customer that they might need to make a responsible decision. What is this saying to you and me? It's saying if you're involved in some unethical business practices, knock it off. Knock it off. And you might need to go into your company and say, you know, in the past, my conscience would allow me to do the shady deals, but no more. We've been talking about wisdom in our church, and I need to get wiser. No more unbalanced scales. Number four, smart money pursues generosity. Proverbs 19, 17, whoever's kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Well, what kind of world is it where some have more than others? Why would God allow that? So that those who have more might be willing to share and develop the kind of heart that God has. Proverbs 11, 26, the people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. What's that talking about? That's talking about that person in the community who has grain, which is not a luxury. It's needed for food. But what's he doing? He's price gouging. He's holding on. He's not releasing it. And therefore, the entire community suffers. Bruce Waltzy, in his commentary in the book of Proverbs, says this, the righteous person is willing to experience a little disadvantage to advantage the community. Here's something we all know. When a righteous woman is in charge of something, when a righteous man is in charge of something, they're not looking to just selfishly take advantage. They're thinking win-win. How can everybody be blessed here? Sure, I need to make a profit, but I'm not looking to price gouge. I'm looking for win-win. Proverbs 11, 24, 25, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. So pursue generosity. Number five, smart money avoids debt. Proverbs 22, 7, the poor are always ruled by the rich, so don't borrow and put yourself under their power. Staying out of debt means you live within your means. You spend less than what you earn. You're not trying to create a false impression by spending money you don't have. As some financial consultants will say, that person is all hat, no cattle. Debt will squeeze the freedom and peace out of you. If that's where you are, don't be embarrassed. Don't hide. Help is available. One of the best places to go is DaveRamsey.com, and we regularly offer some financial help classes and seminars here. Granted, you may need a mortgage, and granted, sometimes business loans are needed to get something started, but debt should come with a warning label. This could be hazardous to your emotional, relational, spiritual health. Number six, smart money has a plan, has a plan. Throughout the book of Proverbs, it's telling you, don't just be haphazard with things. Think them through, have a plan. When Martha and I got married, we embraced the kind of plan that many of you are aware of. It's certainly not original with us. It's called the 10-10-80 plan. 10% we'd give. 10% we'd save. The other 80% you live off of. And now what that means is that other 80%, some of that we might give, some of that we might save, but we tried to do the 10-10-80 plan. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man just devours all he has, doesn't have a plan to save anything. In the New Testament, the Bible talks about having a plan for giving, and it'll say this, 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. Now, let me very quickly talk to you about two kinds of giving. Both are good. Both are good. One is called responsive giving, responsive generosity. And what this does, this is immediate. It responds to a need. There's some obvious need. And so I respond, and it's often emotional. I mean, my heartstrings, somebody's pulled at my heartstrings. It's a legitimate need. It's immediate, and I respond to it. And that's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, you made what happened at Holly Elementary possible. But there's another kind of giving that's actually more significant. It's non-glamorous. It's non-cool. It's non-emotional. It's systematic, systemic, percentage giving to your church. It's non-cool, it's non-glamorous, it's non-emotional, but it's what pays the bills. You hire staff, you have a facility where hundreds of people can meet. It's clean. You'd like air conditioning. You have in other words, you're creating an atmosphere. You're creating an environment where the church can do what the church is called to do, which is what? Worship God, nurture souls, be a community of belonging. And it's actually hard to measure that. It's hard to measure that because so much of what the church does, it's preventive. It's preventive. We'd like to prevent that marriage from getting divorced. We'd like to prevent that child from walking down a pathway of foolishness. We'd like to prevent spiritual apathy and ignorance. And so what you do through this kind of systematic, consistent giving, you create an atmosphere and environment that gives horsepower to the work of God. And, you know, mission works can get started and financed and subsidized and energized in a sustainable way over time. If you come in my office, there's a painting of a church building. And it's the church building where I grew up. And I don't have that painting there because I just like the architecture of that building. But it means something to me. And here's what it means. I don't come from a long spiritual lineage. Some of you say, you know, my grandparents were church leaders or pioneers, and my great, I love that. That's not me. My mom became a Christian when she was a teenager. And then my dad became a Christian in his 30s. And it was in the ministry of that church where my mom started going, and my dad started to attend with her, and he became a Christian. And I sort of grew up, and my sisters, we grew up under that umbrella. But what made that church an environment and an atmosphere? I met my first missionaries there. What made that church function was not a periodic responsive gift. It was that consistent giving by people like you and me, and congealed together, created that atmosphere. So here's what I hope you'll do. I hope you'll do the periodic responsive thing. You've got an opportunity and a need, and you can do that. But I also invite you to be a part of creating a sustainable, ongoing atmosphere and environment of a healthy, healthy church. Number seven, smart money gets wise advice. Proverbs 11:14, without good direction, people lose their way. And the more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Last year, I did something kind of scary. I sat down with three friends of mine, three fellow Christians. We sat down. Everything was on the table. Here's what I earn. Here's what I save. Here's what I get. And we all did that wide open. And we said to each other, I think you might want to reconsider something here. And then Martha and I sat down with somebody who was a financial advisor from a Christian perspective, and we just opened the books. All I'm saying to you is the book of Proverbs recommends wise counsel and wise advice. And regarding finances and our culture today, it's pretty, pretty complex. And some of you are very, very savvy at that. If you're not savvy at that, I encourage you to pursue some wise advice. Again, in your handout, you'll see a class that's going to start on Wednesday night, September 7, called Legacy Journey. Another Dave Ramsey offering. Living and leaving a legacy. Grow it, give it, share it. Last of all, number eight, smart money. It measures success wisely. You know, the Bible never teaches you not to pursue success. To the contrary, it encourages you to pursue success, to aim high. Don't settle for mediocrity, but get this. It tells you to measure success wisely. Don't measure success only in terms of nickels, dimes, and quarters and stuff. Proverbs 15, verses 16 and 17, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. My version, better is a salad with TLC than a filet mignon with tension in the house. Proverbs 30, verse 15, the leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. Never satisfied. Never satisfied, always wanting more. One writer says this, if you're caught up in, you know, quote unquote, keeping up with the Joneses, he says, here's my recommendation. Walk across the street to the Joneses' house, knock on their door and say, congratulations, you win. You win. I'm out of this game. We have found another way to keep score. No longer are we keeping score based on stuff. In our Uplift group a couple of weeks ago, I told the story of a young lady by the name of Rachel. Rachel's a former missionary. She and her husband have moved back. They're living in New Jersey. And what really gets to Rachel is there's an ugly pipe in their dining room. And she was talking to a friend about it. And she said, I hate this pipe in my dining room. It is an eyesore. I've tried painting over it. I tried putting a curtain over it. I just can't stand it. And it's wearing me out. And I've told God before, God, if you want me to live in a grass hut, I will live in a grass hut. So why is this pipe in the corner of my dining room driving me crazy? And then she answered her own question. I know why. I'm comparing. If everybody were in a grass hut, that'd be fine. Not everybody's in a grass hut. And some people that I know, man, they just have a nicer place than I do. And I'm discontent. Somebody's always going to have maybe a little more than you, maybe a little less than you. Give God permission. You don't need to be their policewoman or policeman. You follow the Lord. And as long as you're doing some comparing, don't always just compare up. Measure success wisely. Do you know the book of Proverbs only has one prayer? Here it is. Two things I have asked of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. He's saying, you know, to be in poverty, that's a tough thing. People say, well, money's not going to make you happy. That's true, but a complete absence of money can be misery. But he said another great test is prosperity. Lord, I want to pass that test as well. And so, my friends, the ultimate issues in life, they're not financial. But your money is a spiritual matter. I hope you have smart money and that you walk in wisdom. Know the source of it. Teach your children about financial wisdom. Embrace your job. Pursue generosity. Avoid debt. Have a plan. Seek wise advice and measure success wisely. When the Bible wanted to point us to the great example of generosity, you know what it does? It points us to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And he makes you rich in every way that counts.